Outside the Doll again with Peter Preston. Today is Peter's third day without any liquids. He's been off all liquids since last Monday. How are you, Peter? How are you feeling?
Well, Sean, how are you? I have a chest infection and I don't feel very strong, to be honest with you. The water is after taking a bit, going off the water is after taking a big lump out of me, more or less. Taking a lot of and the energy away from me, you know,
right,
going off the water. And then sleeping out here on a mattress, like with no tent, is not very easy either. And it's not too bad at the moment with the cold. I can bear the cold, but if the rain comes, I'm going to be snoopered, because I've only a little plastic cover, and it's not going to keep the rain off. So that's where I'm at the moment, Sean.
So, are you getting headaches or anything like that, or...?
No, but I always suffered with headaches, right? So I have Sorbitane capsules, right? I used to take Sorbitane with water, right, before I went off the tour strike. But I can't take water, so I got Sorbitane in capsules. So I suffer with headaches and sciatica. So I take the capsules, just swallow them without water or anything, it's just with me saliva. So I don't know how long that's going to last either, that I'll be able to swallow them as capsules, not taking any liquids.
Right. We had a chat before this interview commenced, and it came up that because you're on a thirst strike, that your health could plummet at any given moment, basically. And one of the things that I wanted to put to you was, if the worst happens and you suddenly wink out, for want of a not so nice way of putting it,
yeah,
what would you have to say to the likes of Bertie Ahern?
If anything happens to me here, right, first of all, I do not want to be removed from here. All these people in there now, in Dáil Éireann, and know that I can prove everything I said. I can prove a cover-up on the Department of Justice last year after 64 days on hunger strike. 57 days. I was 57 days on the hunger strike when I met with Michael McDowell, and it took 57 days for that. And I can prove a cover-up by Michael McDowell and the Department of Justice. That's force. And if the Department of Justice and a Minister for Justice could cover up a national scandal, and this is a national scandal, mark my words, and if I can prove all of this, well then, that is a national scandal in itself. And the new Minister for Justice, Brian Lenihan, is doing the exact same thing as Michael McDowell did.
Answers are the same, anyway.
The answer is the same, that's what I'm saying. The answer is the same, and the answers they are given to me, because the girl that shoved that glass into my daughter's face was arrested last year with a boyfriend who was also involved in this violence against my daughter and her boyfriend, and her brother, and her brother's girlfriend, was arrested with €8 million worth of heroin, 5 clock guns and ammunition. And the Minister for Justice and the Department of Justice know this, and the answers they're giving me back every time is to do with a criminal case about this girl shoving glass in my daughter's face. And they all know that this has nothing got to do with a criminal case, and what they're doing is they're putting my family's life at danger and my life in danger by drawing these people back into this, when this has nothing got to do with a criminal case. It has to do with a civil action my daughter took against this pope.
Yes, that girl that blasted your daughter has been taken care of by the courts, and your relationship with her is finished.
Finished, over and done, and they knew, and Michael McDowell and the Department of Justice knew this from 2004, because I got that answer back from them in 2004. And if we just say they were ignorant in 2004, they certainly weren't ignorant in September 2005, when I had my story printed in the Village magazine. Vincent Brown's Village magazine, when Joe Costello and all was mentioned in this documents missing, and a High Court judge, solicitors and barristers and all were mentioned there, and he knew this has nothing to do with a criminal case.
Right.
And yet I'm still getting them answers back before my hunger strike, during my hunger strike and after my hunger strike, saying that this has to do with a criminal case. And that's the cop-out, that's the cover-up of this.
Right. So basically, we've established that because the Minister for Justice focuses on the criminal action to anyone outside of indie media, basically, who basically have the full and the right story, that anyone outside who hears what the Minister for Justice has to say, or anyone within government, period, is basically saying the criminal case is not finished. And you feel, and you're somewhat justified in feeling it, that that sends a message to the criminals who harmed your daughter.
Yeah.
And that you're saying it's not finished to them, and they're saying it on your behalf, Father.
Yeah.
And that it may draw them back in to harm someone in your family or something to that effect.
Yeah. But what I'm saying here, Sean, is that they all know, everyone in Dáil Éireann know, that this has nothing got to do with the criminal case. They know that. They all know that. Finny McGrath knows that. The TD that's in a low voice so far from me in the law, Finny knows all this. And everyone else knows it. But the cop-out and the cover-up is that they turn around and say that this is the criminal about the criminal case, and that the Department of Justice is separate from the courts, and that my daughter got compensated, and so forth and so forth. Yes. My daughter got compensated from that girl. I've done this to my daughter, £3,000. And she got 18 months suspended sentence. Yes, that's over and done with. Finished. That was finished in 2001. No, no,
that wasn't something that you looked back at.
No. Left that. That's gone and done with. This is a deal with a conspiracy of corruption against my daughter's civil action she took against this pub.
Yes.
Involving solicitors, barristers, High Court, Judge Gardaí. The pub staff, where does the pub get all this power? Where does it get from whom, or where does it get all this power? And where does it get the power to be able to serve alcohol to 16 and 17-year-old children in their dozens for years and years and years under the noses of Bertie Ahern and Garda Síochána Conaghan? And then, when I had the evidence of all of this, I brings it to Joe Costa to help me with the situation I'm in, and I get the runaround off him for 6 months, and when I get the transcripts of files back off Joe Costa, transcripts and change of some of the files I'm missing. Where does this all come from? From whom or where? And then, 64 days on hunger strike, Michael McDowell knows all about this from 2004, and we just say he didn't, as I said, he's ignorant. He knew definitely from 2005. So why would he leave me out on a hunger strike for 57 days before he even meets with me, or would have been dead? And then when he meets with me, I tell him the whole story. I tell him I should have never been out here. Michael McDowell and the panel just should have done their job. I told him all about Bertie Ahern, as I have on my placard, involved in the child abuse. I told him all that. So I was forced out here to put Bertie Ahern's name up there. Because I was forced. If they'd have done their job, I wouldn't have to do that. And the most very important that I say this, Sean, why would Joe Costello not say to me or to Finney McGrath on the first day I was out on hunger strike last year that he didn't want to resolve this? Why not the 10th day? Why not the 20th day? Why not the 30th day? Why not the 40th day? Why did it take him to say that he didn't want anything to resolve this the day after I met with Michael McDowell? 58 days. Why, Sean? That's the point, Sean. And the most important point I want to hit the nail on the head is, why would Bertie Ahern, the Taoiseach of our country, who asks us to be active citizens, how more of an active citizen can you get than to be out in the hunger strike to expose a national scandal, right? Why would Tina open his mouth about the owners of this pub, or even if he's innocent and knew nothing about the serving of alcohol to 16, 17-year-old children, why didn't he go and find out about that? A citizen of his country, I'm a citizen, fighting for justice for my daughter and to expose a national scandal. Why would he not go and find out and say anything, mention anything about the owners of this pub or this pub? Why? Leave me to die for 64 days.
Peter, can I draw you back to the meeting last year with McDowell?
Yes, Sean.
No. You got word that you were going to meet him on the 54th day of your hunger strike.
I got on a week, no, it had been the 50th day of my hunger strike. It was exactly a week before I met Michael McDowell that I got word that I'd be meeting with him.
Well, let's talk about the actual meeting itself.
Yeah.
Now, I know for a fact that you clarified to Mr. McDowell at the time that this was not about a criminal case.
I did indeed. I made that quite plain to him. Quite plain.
Up until that point, Mr. McDowell, no matter what he wrote or said with regard to the Preston family or about Peter Preston, the word criminal case always appeared.
That's right.
The word civil case never appeared.
Never mentioned.
The word words underage drinking never appeared.
That's right.
And the words Bertie Ahern is friends with the owners of this pub that allows underage drinking in it and has done so for years. That has never appeared never in anything appeared. That man has said never. That I have seen, and yeah. I've seen quite a lot.
Yeah. No, no.
At that particular meeting, when you brought it to his attention, that first of all, it wasn't about the criminal action, which he had been harping on about for 2 years at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was about the civil case. You told him about the pub serving drink to underage children. And third, you told him that the owners of that pub were good friends with Bertie Ahern and that Bertie Ahern drank there most Sunday nights. What did Mr. McDowell say to that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing he didn't say. I just told him all this. I said, well, this pub, the authority of itself now got the 16 and 17 year old children under the nose of Bertie Ahern and Garda Síochán. He said absolutely nothing. I told him about the person who shot that glass in my daughter's face being arrested, and our boyfriend being arrested, and our brother being arrested, and his girlfriend being arrested, with €8 million with the heroin and 5 clock guns. And he never even mentioned the heroin. All he mentioned what I was interested in was the 5 clock guns. Never even mentioned the heroin. Never commented on the heroin.
So how did that actual meeting end?
Well, I got weak, Sean. Yep. I got weak because it was very intense for me, Sean, because I was 57 days on hunger strike at the stage.
Right.
And it got very intense for me, and I got weak, you know, so I just stopped the meeting. I just stopped right. the meeting and I just had to go leave, you know.
Okay. Was Finian McGrath at that meeting with you?
Finian McGrath was at that meeting with me, and a good friend of mine was at that meeting as well, a chap named Patrick O'Connell.
Right. So Finian, if it ever came to it, and it's not that I'm distrusting you or mistrusting yeah. you, if it ever came to it, Finian could verify what you said.
Oh yes, yes, Finian could.
That was the content.
Oh yes.
Did Finian have anything to say at this meeting?
No, not really. Finian just supported me, and when I turned around and said that this girl had done this to my daughter was a vicious talk, and Finian agreed with that, because Finian must have heard stories about her. Finian said, mentioned that, turned around and said, yeah, she's known to be a vicious talk. This girl was known to be a vicious talk.
I don't mean to ambush you, Peter.
Yeah.
Because I know, first of all, that yourself and Finian are good friends.
Yeah.
And I know that you helped Finian with his election campaign, and I know Finian has stuck by you through thick and thin.
Yeah.
Finian is a member of government, Peter.
Yeah.
What is Finian doing for you?
Well, let me say this. Finian was a lone voice for me in all Ireland for the past few years. Finian is the only one that has put questions, and this is where I got the answers from that I could build the cover up from the Department of Justice.
Well, I mean, that's all very, very well.
Yes.
We were talking earlier, you were saying that Finian came out into politics because of social justice to
yeah.
begin with.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm going to come to, Sean. See, Finian, as I said, Finian's been a lone voice for me, and Finian had no power to do anything for me last year.
Absolutely.
But he has the power this year.
But does Finian... Has Finian said to you that he believes you?
Well, Finian sent me a card last year when I was after being taken off from Hoffman. And on the card, I have it at home, that Finian said that I have his total support. Right? That he totally supports me, Finian
so,
says. I have
mean,
a card.
That yeah. kind of says
yeah.
that he does totally believe
support,
you.
Yeah. And so that was a great boost for me after my 64-day hunger strike last year and being taken off the hospital. And Finian gave me that card saying that I have his total support. How do I put that? That Finian supports me totally supports me. That's the way it is, Sean. I have that at home, you know, on the card and right on Finian.
Okay. Again, not meaning to be flippant.
Yeah.
It's all very well having a card, get well soon or whatever.
Yeah.
But where is Finian now?
I'll tell you where Finian is. See, Finian, as I said again, Finian's been a lone supporter for me in there, a lone voice. Now, Finian on the 3rd of October made a statement in the Dáil saying that every member of the Dáil should support me. Now, I've tried everything I can to get the Green Party on board here, because I don't want Finian to be a lone voice. For other people to take the responsibility and do their duty as public representatives. That's their job. They're well paid to do that. Public representatives. This is a national scandal of major public interest. Now, what I tried to do was keep a little bit of pressure off Finian. But I get ignored with contempt by the Green Party, all members of the Green Party, and everyone else for that matter, right? But it's coming to a head. They're only going to have to, it's going to be down to me and Finian. And what it is Finian said that he went into politics for social justice because he was a principal, a teacher principal in a school in the inner city of Dublin. And I've canvassed with Finian and dropped leaflets, and I've seen that he does care. He's a caring person, right? But this is the ultimate challenge to Finian, because this is all about social justice. This is about a Department of Justice and the Minister of Justice to cover up a national scandal. That proves we know civilization, we know justice. If we have no justice, we have nothing. So Finian, it's going to go to a point that it's going to be Finian. My life is going to be in Finian's hands. It's going to be down to Finian and me, and it's going to be in Finian. And if Finian, the only choice that my way of living there, and the only way I see myself living here, is I'm going all the way, and the only one that can save my life, as far as I can see, I'm going to know everyone else is running from it. It's going to be Finian to stand up and say he's pulling out a government on my behalf. As Finian knows that I have the evidence, he knows, because all the evidence came through Finian to me anyway. So Finian knows that the Department of Justice is covering this all up, and he should know that the cover up is worse than the thing itself.
So, I mean, to put it really in short terms, it's time for Finian to put his money where his mouth is.
I think so, yeah. For to save my life, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's down to Finian now. We're going through everything in my power to get the Green Party on board and everyone else on board. So my life depends now on Finian being courageous, and it takes courage. Like, as I said, in the Sunday Tribune there a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Dean McMartin turned around and says, sometimes it takes courage. It takes courage. I know it's going to be easy for Finian. It's going to take courage for Finian to save my life. And it's going to be better for the society a whole anyway. Because let's show the Department of Justice. Now I can prove the cover of the Department of Justice of a national scandal. And we can't have that. We cannot have that. And I'm willing to give my, if I have to, I'll sacrifice my life for that. Because I fought little grandchildren from 3 months to 6 years, and I will not allow that. I've heard it face on now, and I've seen this, and it's like I can see what people like myself that are falling into something, like my daughter that I have to fight for, and this will go on and on and on and on, and you have injustice, and when a national scandal comes that involves very powerful people, the Department of Justice is there to cover it up. I will not stand for that. I will do everything in my power, because it cost me my life to expose this. So be it. So I'm Finian. He's going to be the man. If he talks about social justice, he knows it's a cover up here, like everyone else in the Dáil knows it. Everyone knows it. The media know it. So Finian be a man to stand up for the oppressed, and for the oppressed people, and for the ordinary people that it's hard enough to go through life, right? You tell your children to watch out for drugs, you tell them to watch out for violence, you don't tell them to watch out for the Garda Síochána, for the solicitors, for the barristers, for the judges, for the politicians. You don't tell them that, you don't expect that. But when they hit your face, right in the face, and I can see it all now, it saddens me. I should be a very angry man. I should be a very, very angry man. But I'm not. I'm very sad. I'm a very sad man. That's what it is.
Peter. Let's get hypothetical for a minute.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the nature of your hunger strike.
Yeah.
You know how I feel, and Jesus, I know how you feel at this stage.
Yeah.
If the shoe were on the other foot, and it were me sitting out here starving to death and dying of thirst, would you advise me to continue my hunger strike?
I'd listen to your story first. There's nobody. It's like some people say to me, and there's a girl out here as well, Marie Reyes, and some people say to me, get on with your life, let it go, get on with your life. That's a very simple phrase to say. But it's only when the person, it's only when the person is in the situation. When the person is in the situation. So you have to be very careful what you're saying to people that is so committed to a cause. Right, and this is a very, this goes way beyond my daughter. This goes to the heart of our democracy, the justice system. This goes to corruption. It goes into everything. And I am, my heart and soul, every piece of me is involved in this. And nothing will take me off this. Nothing will take me off this. So you can say that, and some people that are so committed to a real cause and. Sorry, Sean, I'm so committed to this, but I would approach it. No, I wouldn't advise anyone to come off hunger strikes, because no one knows the feelings inside of another person. They try to express them, but this is deep inside of me, Sean. If we say that someone has to do something, you can't just take people and ordinary people and just take them like oranges and squeeze them and throw them on the ground, and they know every one of them inside know it all, and know that I can prove everything, that it's all true. They know all that, and they just ignore you with contempt and don't care about you. They don't care about, I've learned this, that they don't care about the smallest little child. They don't care about the elderly. They stole from the elderly in nursing homes. They took their homes from them. They took their pensions from them. Come on, years ago, everything was covered up with the child abuse, the children and child abuse and everything else. It's gone too far there. It was smart. Where did this come from? Our country is, what, 90 years old or something?
Peter, if you were a fucking mongrel dog and you got a smack of a bus crossing the street, half the fucking doll be out to see where you are,
that's,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
But you know this.
Yeah. That's what the point, Sean. That's why someone has to make a stand on this. So I don't know that he has to be out here, have the hunger strike, that at least people in there will learn that we're human beings, we're not animals, that even me out here on a mattress here in the freezing cold, as I said, with a plastic cover over me, and if it rains, I'm going to be snooping. They treated my daughter, Sean, like an animal. My daughter said, first of all, she gets a glass shoved into her face, post-traumatic stress, and then the powers that be, the cream is like, treated her like an animal, right? And they raped her of everything that's human, or humanity. And that's exactly what they're doing to me. They treat me like an animal. And they're raping me and my humanity out here. My dignity, Sean. My dignity. I'm sitting out here with a beard grown, can't wash myself, filthy, dirty, going into it. Sitting here for about 12 hours a day, getting onto a mattress, covering myself up with a blanket, and throwing a plastic cover over me, and you don't know who's going to be going by, and it's not too bad now, but the weekends, you get drunkards coming by, kicking you, abusing you, and everything else. My dignity, Sean, that's what I did, to take away my dignity and everything else, for sure.
I suppose one last point before I give you a break, man, because I know your voice is at you, and I don't want to be kind of putting you under too much stress. If worst comes to the worst, and you don't make it through this, what would you say to the people of Ireland? And never mind the people behind you in that building, but the general population themselves.
I'd say
the people who don't know anything about this.
I'd say this to them, if they hear what I'm saying here now. You've been fed carrots. That's what they've been fed. And they've been put under pressure all the pressures in life is work, 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 great, great, great. Let the children go and all this. Let them do what they want inside. Because you're under so much pressure that you don't listen. 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 Because what's going on, you don't know. They're keeping us ignorant. Why do you think RTE for 64 days last year, I was out on the hunger strike. Hang on, I was out on the hunger strike for 64 days last year, and not one word from RTE. Why? Not to tell the story, didn't have to tell my sergeant about it, but it should have said 10 days, 20 days, 20 days, 40 days, this man's home. Because they don't want the people to know. Keep them ignorant. That's what it is. They want to keep them ignorant. Now, I'm out here 29 days today, not one word from RTE again. They all know this. I got a little write-up in the Star newspaper on the 17th or 16th of this month. But that's what it's about, to keep people ignorant. People knew what this is about. But if this whole story came out, they would be shocked, and it would show up all all professions, show up all professions were for what they really and truly are, that they don't care about people. They don't care about people.
So it's up to us.
Yeah, it's up to the ordinary people to listen. And the man, I'm out here, this is about human rights. I have a sign up out here, and on it says, hunger strike, human rights for all, and for a just, fair, and equal society. And that's what it's about. And look, what they turn around and they say, with the violence, the gun violence and all that's here, they ask for witnesses to go with to go and give evidence and everything else. That's easy for them to say, right? But where's the politician whistleblowing on the politician? Where's the guards whistleblowing on the guards? Where's the legal profession whistleblowing on the legal profession? Where's the judiciary whistleblowing on the judiciary? A doctor can't even whistleblow on something that's gone wrong in the HSC.
He's not trying to fall right
enough. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
Tommy, yeah.
You called your old Mary from
under. Now, Trevor. There's Trevor now, Maxie. Do you know him? You know him, Trevor? So that's the story, Sean. When the politicians whistleblow on one another, when the guards whistleblow on one another, when the legal profession whistleblow on one another, and all the professions, etc., etc., whistleblow on one another, then the people of Ireland will get the respect for the guard of Sinn Féin, for the legal profession, for the politicians. They're the ones there that's to show us the way. They're the ones that they can't throw stones at the glass house. They're asking people to put their lives on danger, and they won't even whistleblow on one another. Makes a mockery of everything. Makes a mockery of everything.
Right. I'm going to end it there, Peter. Okay, I'll give you a break from that. Yeah, yeah. Listen, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks very much, Sean.
Okay, you take it easy, man.
I will indeed, Sean.
I still wish the fuck you'd come off this.
Yeah, but the point about it, Sean, is it's not up to me. It's down to other people. It's not up to me. I come off, I'd be thinking about chips and steak, and I come off at this second, if I could. If I got an independent public inquiry, and if I don't get that, then I try to get the Green Party and for Finian McGrath to pull out. So it's going to be down to Finian, I think, that the Green Party are running miles from this, as is everyone else, and they all know the truth. They're all running. So it's going to, I believe the only one that can save my life is Finian. So you have it.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks very much, Sean.
I'm going to take it down. I'll take it down. I'll take it down.